Jordan trying to shake off Starks. Oh, what a move!
LeBron James with no regard for human life. Final seconds. Bryant for the win.
Bang! Iverson against Gill, the crowd on its feet. Allen for the win.
Welcome to the Sneaker History Podcast.
What is going on, everybody? It's another episode of the Sneaker History Podcast. Of course, I'm your host, Mike. Because we're running a solo episode, we call it a Coffee Time Kicks episode. So today, we have a very special guest, something that really intertwines two of my biggest passions, sneakers. You guys know that. And of course, training, working out. And our special guest is going to be Todd Melanie. He's going to be one of the co-founders of While on Earth, a training fitness brand that I think has a great thing going for him. But Todd, how's it going, man?
It's going great, Mike. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no, appreciate you coming on today. And, you know, one question I like to ask people when we come on the show, we do this kind of, you know, what are you wearing lately? But since it's one of our solo episodes, we call it Coffee Time Kicks. If you're going to get coffee, go and make a quick run out the house, what's that first sneaker you're grabbing?
I'm grabbing the While on Earth Move Trainer.
There you go. I love it, man. I love it. And, you know, great thing, we're going to get into the shoe, but one of the awesome things about you guys is Move Trainer. It is versatile. Not only does it work very well in the gym, but it's something you can wear casually. And I like how you guys really put that together to make it really a well-rounded sneaker for people. So, like I said, we'll get into that, but I like it. I like what you guys have done there. And Todd, what's the, you know, While on Earth is a new project. You guys are on your 1 year anniversary, correct?
Yeah, we just celebrated 1 year last week, actually.
Awesome. Congrats, man. Now, the question is, I want to take it back a little bit. Were sneakers always a passion for you, or what drove you to get into the business? Because I know you worked with another brand before with No Bull, coming into your own project here with While on Earth. What really got you into kind of that sneaker side, the clothing side of the training?
Yeah, honestly, I have always loved shoes.
Yeah.
I was kind of, my first love was basketball.
Okay.
And there's such a strong sneaker culture in basketball. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, practically where it was born. And when I was a teenager and, you know, in junior high and high school, you know, I just really fell in love with the sneaker culture around basketball. And we joked that I did get it from my mom because she, you know, has more shoes than I do. But for me, it kind of became, you know, athletic footwear was something that I was, you know, into, excited about. And, mm-hmm. I was more of like a aspiring sneakerhead because I couldn't really afford to like really be in the game.
Yeah.
But I was super dialed into what was happening with all the signature shoes in the early 2000s. And, you know, obviously it was Jordan, but it was Iverson and T-Mac and VC and all those guys. You know, I had so many of them. So I was thinking about that as I was getting ready for the show. But it was definitely basketball sneakers, mm-hmm. Sneaker culture that got me into footwear originally. And that was way before I found entrepreneurship.
Got you. Okay. Now, did you go to school for design, or is it something you kind of fell into after the fact?
Yeah, no, I did not go to school for design. I went to school for sports marketing, actually.
Cool.
Which, you know, definitely does translate into sneaker and what I do today. Mm-hmm. But I went to school for sports marketing. And I started my first apparel brand when I was in college.
Wow.
And it was a surfing apparel brand in memory of my best friend who had passed away when we were 18. He was a big surfer. I started a surf apparel brand and gave proceeds from that apparel brand back to a scholarship fund that we endowed in his memory.
That's awesome.
And I built the website on WordPress when I was in my college dorm room and, you know, received text message notifications when we get new orders. And I'd go back to my dorm room and pack up the, you know, t-shirts and hoodies out of my college mail room and ship them out. And, you know, we had like local surfers and we'd, you know, stickers everywhere, just plastering. And that was my first business. It was an apparel brand. And that was kind of on the heels of, you know, when, you know, I had been obsessed with basketball and, you know, transitioning and kind of merging those things together.
Yeah. So are you a surfer as well? Or is that just something, your friend was
I mean, I was like a little bit. I grew up at like a beach town in Rhode Island. But
okay.
I was a basketball player, but my best friend was a big surfer. He also played basketball. But as a way to kind of memorialize him, it was more appropriate to create the brand inspired by surfing, which yeah. I do really appreciate that culture and kind of the wellness orientation to, mm-hmm. you know, being by the ocean and kind of all the, you know, the value that that offers. But yeah. I personally was not, you know, a big surfer. It just kind of became a passion project where I was able to dip, you know, dip my toes into entrepreneurship.
That's awesome. And I guess from that, how long did that brand run for?
I did that for about 2.5-3 years.
Okay.
I was interning for the New England Patriots at the time. So I was in
sports. Oh, wow.
Yeah. In sports marketing, interning for the Patriots. This is during the, you know, the peak Tom Brady era.
Yeah.
2007 to 2010. And I had this brand that I started. I was interning. I was like the personal intern for the chief marketing officer of the Patriots.
Oh, so super cool.
I like learned so much from that experience and had this like desire to work in sports, but mm-hmm. then also had this, you know, thrill and excitement that I was experiencing from building my own company for the first time. And
yeah,
I did so many different elements of that, but I kind of fell in love with the process of figuring it out.
For sure.
And I did that for a couple of years. We had products sold in local surf shops all throughout New England. And
very cool.
We endowed the scholarship in memory mm-hmm. of my friend. And we were able to donate $250,000 to my local high school.
Wow.
We built the high school gymnasium and the basketball court and dedicated it to him because that's where he and I played basketball. He was the captain of the football team. I was the captain of the basketball team. And we built this brand, and then we had this scholarship fund, and we ended up giving the funds from the scholarship fund to rebuild the gym and name it after him.
Wow.
And it was just like this incredible culmination of how building something mm-hmm. is a thrill and a challenge, and you can also do something really powerful and impactful out of that.
Yeah.
And it was like those two elements at this really formative time where I was working for the Patriots, where mm-hmm. I was like able to bring my passion and my life all together in one. And it was really hard, but it also didn't feel like work because it was just like passion.
Loved it. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And, you know, that was the taste of it that I've never really, you know, I've never been able to shut off since then.
Oh, that's amazing, man. I know a lot of people, they do, like, they like the idea of becoming an entrepreneur, but it's more of the, what they see. They don't like digging into, like, the trenches of it all, but being able to actually yeah. stick with it and have the passion for it, that says a lot. I mean, I think it takes a very special person to be able to do that because it's, I think it's harder than having a 9-to-5 job normally because that doesn't shut off. Like, you're constantly going.
It's not a 9-to-5. And I would say, like, everybody wants the results that come with yes. building something and, you know, having it be prosperous until they understand the level of sacrifice and determination that it takes to actually get to that point.
Yes.
And then you realize why, you know, if it were easy, everybody would do it. And there are so few.
Yes. It's funny you say that because, you know, I was thinking about like your sport marketing, your degree and your internship you have with the Patriots. So I graduated a marketing degree as well, but not specific to sports. But I did take a sports marketing class because I was like, oh, I think I might want to do this. And I got so turned off by it because I seemed like everything they were talking about revolved around ticket sales. I'm like, I am not selling tickets for the rest of my life. But it's like, you had such a cool opportunity to be able to go in and actually get with the marketing team. And I said, like, that, if they would have like opened those kinds of doors and like they have those kind of opportunities, I think I would have stuck with it. But it was all like, oh, you can go sell tickets, or, you know, you can get the ticket box office and do those corporate sponsorships and stuff. I'm like, yeah, I don't think I can do that.
Yeah, well, just to be clear, the first internship I had was with the New England Revolution.
Soccer, right?
The soccer team that's also owned by the Crafts. And I was a ticket sales intern.
Ticket sales.
And I literally was a mascot at a game.
Are you serious?
Yeah. So you just talk about, and I used that to get in with the Patriots.
That's smart.
I just was willing to do whatever was necessary.
Yeah.
And then I got an internship with the Patriots, and then I just kind of like kept grinding, kept working really hard, and ultimately got, you know, really great access to, you know, some of the executives there, and ended up
yeah.
being like, really cool, like 2.5-year stretch. But the beginning, it was like, it was really not sexy.
I can imagine a phone call. Hey, Todd, yeah, Jim's out. We need to put your mascot suit on today.
And it was this big fox. Like, the mascot was a fox.
Yeah.
And the suit smelled terrible. Like, it just smelled awful inside. And you had to run around. Anyways, quite the experience. But, you know, it just kind of speaks to... You got to check your ego at the door.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, like I said.
Forget about it.
Definitely, because everything's ground up. You have to start somewhere. It's not just jumping into, hey, I'm CEO of a company that is making $1 gazillion. It's not going to happen. Like, you have to pay your dues and learn. I think everyone's wants this kind of, what they call it, the microwave era. It's like this instant result where, if you're lucky, sure. And when I say lucky, like the 0.1% that get that instant result. But everyone else, like in a normal case, you got to really scratch and grind for it all.
Yeah, you gotta love the process, and it's taken me a long time and a few different iterations at building something to realize that, you know, you get burnt out when you're focused on the result and motivated by the result. That just creates a rival fallacy, which, you know, is disappointment. But if you just love the process of what you're doing and what you're building every day, then, you know, you can do it forever.
You are not lying, sir. You are not lying. And, I mean, that's with anything from podcasting to building awesome shoe companies, apparel companies. It's like everyone just has to realize that. And, you know, as we talk about your journey, you know, starting with the sport marketing, starting the brand in honor of your friend, what was next? Where did you go from there? Was it directly to Noble, or was there any kind of steps in between there?
No, it wasn't. So, you know, that led me on this entrepreneurial journey, and, you know, I kind of got involved with a few different early stage startups in the Boston and Rhode Island area in the kind of surf and action sports industry.
Cool.
And I was also just obsessed with the stories of different entrepreneurs and founders. Mm-hmm. So I was, you know, working in these humble startups and just really reading about, you know, successful entrepreneurs and, you know, read everything I could get my hands on, from Malcolm Gladwell to Steve Jobs to Elon Musk to on and on.
Yeah.
I was young and impressionable, and it, you know, kind of gave me reason to believe, you know, that it could be done. And none of these stories were sexy. They were just, you know, consistent. And I ultimately met with the two former executives from Reebok, Marcus and Michael.
Okay.
And we got connected on LinkedIn, oddly enough. And there they had just left Reebok. And I met with them outside Boston. And they, you know, I tried to sell them my company, actually. Yeah, it was a small surf startup in Rhode Island. I tried to sell them my company, and they were like, look, no, we're not a company, but we are actually starting our own brand, and you're going to be a part of it. And it was actually a surfing brand. It was a cold water surfing brand, and I was actually, like, trying to get away from that and trying to get into sport.
Okay.
But I had read so much about founders and entrepreneurs that I was like, you know what? These guys feel like they have the ingredients of all of these stories I've heard about in the past. And I had tried to build something on my own and realized that I just didn't have the tools necessary to be successful at that phase, like creating product. I didn't know how to do it. I wasn't a designer. Michael had been the global head of product for Reebok for 10 years. He was 20 years my senior, so I looked at this as an opportunity to learn and just really commit myself to the process of learning, and believed in my ability to contribute to our success. And that started as this cold water surf brand. And ultimately, it wasn't successful at all. We ended up, like, folding that after a year, and then we were at a marketing and design agency where I was this outsourced marketing manager for various kind of fitness and, you know, active type companies. And then that was used to fund the early POs of a training brand for people who work hard and don't believe in excuses called Noble.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, we launched Noble. It was the three of us in January of 2015. what is formerly called the East Coast Championship. It was a CrossFit competition.
Ah.
And it was the same month that Nike launched their Nike Metcon franchise.
Yeah.
And their Nike training category. And Noble launched as this underdog alternative, starting with just footwear, to Reebok and to Nike, which was getting into CrossFit.
Yeah.
And we kind of rode in the wake of a rapidly growing category in the direct-to-consumer boom, when people were looking for alternatives in, you know, eyewear and skincare and luggage, etc. Yeah. Noble became that direct-to-consumer alternative in training to Nike and to Reebok.
Yeah, okay. I always wonder how it just like came to be, because I know CrossFit is one of those things where it is definitely still very niche, but it really had this boom, and I hadn't tried anything from Noble personally, but I've always heard great things about them. And again, wedging out that space in between Nike, Reebok, and anybody else who's trying to jump into the training game and being that recognizable, I think that's awesome what you guys were able to do, how you guys were able to really position it. And yeah, so at one point, correct me if I'm wrong, you guys were you title sponsor of the CrossFit Games?
Yeah. So Reebok had been the title sponsor of the CrossFit Games for 10 years.
Yeah.
And you know, it was interesting because the same period we launched, early 2015, Nike laid out this strategic plan to take their online footwear sales on Nike.com from 1 billion in online sales to 7 billion sales by 2020.
Yeah.
And our perspective then was that if Nike is remotely successful, everybody is going to be comfortable buying footwear online. And it's going to create a wake of opportunity for alternatives. Noble became that alternative like many others. And we grew rapidly from 2015 to 2020. And then the pandemic, everyone was at home. Everybody was getting into fitness and wellness and running and doing all these things. And it accelerated our growth. And at that time, the 10-year contract with Reebok and CrossFit expired. He stepped in as the new title sponsor for the CrossFit Games starting in 2021.
That's awesome. I mean, being at like perfect timing and to put the work in, it panned out. And yeah, you're right. It's funny how when you think back to pandemic 2020, a lot of things saw fall off. You're like, oh man, we're losing money left and right, but people were stuck. And the only thing they could really do was work out. So that, I mean, I almost call it right place, right time, but it's like, hey, you know what? You're able to take and make something positive out of something that was extremely negative at a time, right? Like, it's really great. People are trying to be healthy.
And, well, and the other thing is people couldn't go into stores.
Mm-hmm. Online shopping was exploding.
Absolutely exploded. And it created tremendous growth. Also created challenges because you know, there became forecast of that level of growth continuing and accelerating. And what happened for a lot of direct-to-consumer brands is they became over-inventoried on product, anticipating the same level of demand and growth.
Yeah.
And that wasn't the case for all companies, and it created challenges that a lot of them are still navigating, quite frankly.
Yeah. You know, with everything going on with Noble, with your sports mind and everything you've done in marketing, was that something that was scratching an itch for you? Because you wanted to get back in sports and more of like the necessarily surfing side of things, but more in like the other sport, more traditional sports is what we call it. Did that scratch that itch for you? Were you feeling like the worlds were combining the way you want it?
Honestly, yeah. We had an incredible run. So, you know, we really became the leader in CrossFit and then kind of transitioned to trying to just be the leader in training.
Yeah.
You know? So we became partners with the PGA Tour and we kind of reimagined a lot of their training experiences for their athletes or their players.
Yeah.
And then we became the presenting sponsor of the NFL Combine.
I did see that, yeah.
Which really kind of brought us out of niche CrossFit into a much bigger demographic of audiences with NFL and football. And was able to with some awesome athletes there. And, you know, ironically, I wrote my senior thesis in college on how to start a brand in a competitive industry. And, you know, after I sunsetted that first brand, I realized I had so much to learn and so much to do before I would be ready to do it on my own and build a company that I felt like I was capable of building. And it was that 10-year stretch at Noble from, you know, working out of our homes to being on field at the NFL, you know, that I realized I was ready.
Yeah.
Really ready to just apply myself and reconnect with the early entrepreneur that I was and the passion for footwear and, you know, try to build something that was for the modern fitness and wellness enthusiast.
Yeah.
And I felt like there was this opportunity to bring, you know, the cultural relevance of sneaker culture, like we touched on early on, which I grew up in basketball, but use it as a vehicle and as a tool to connect with wellness and fitness as a vehicle to improve people's lives. And that's how, you know, the early ambitions for a while on Earth started.
That's awesome. Now, you know, I know you said 10-year stretch. You said, hey, you know what? As time went on, you were progressively getting ready to be able to take on the task of doing this, again, in a competitive market. Was there a specific moment in that 10-year stretch you said, you know what? It's time for me to go ahead and do this? And anything that just pops out of your mind?
You know, it's interesting. There was a moment where, and we always had really lofty goals, and it created some tremendous opportunities for me as a sports marketer to, you know, be in really cool environments.
Yeah.
And I remember I had been, like, wrestling with the idea of whether I wanted to do this.
Yeah.
Because I know how hard it is.
Yeah.
I know how hard it is to build something from nothing and have it scale and become something. And I had just committed to myself for 10 years to do this. And I was on the sidelines of an NFL game. And, you know, we were partnered with the Patriots and we had like this incredible access and the quarterback was our sponsored athlete. And it was like everything that you would imagine or dream to accomplish was right in front of me.
Yeah.
And I was literally on field at the game and like the jets flew over and the fireworks started and it was kickoff. And I was like, am I really willing to sacrifice all of this opportunity that I've worked for 10 years to get to with the real possibility that I never get back to this level again? Like, do I love the process enough to be okay with that outcome?
Yeah.
And I decided that I was. And I decided that not just me, but a small team of my most talented team members at Noble
who
were willing to come with me, I decided that, you know, we were as ready as anybody could ever be to take on this new venture and, you know, to build something that was timeless, iconic, and for the modern customer. And even if it wasn't successful, I would never wonder if I could have done it.
I love that because it's like, you know what? I have to at least try. And I think that's the most important thing. Win, lose, draw, I think is important to try to see. You know, you have that voice in the back of your head, like, go do it. You felt that urge. You got to act on it because the worst thing I feel like is a what if. Like, what if I would have done it instead of just sitting here being, I mean, hey, for lack of better words, I mean, you felt comfort where you were in your position at Noble, but you know what? You like that uncomfortable trying something new. And I think that's super respectable because a lot of people just kind of sit and like, I'm good here. I don't want to move, but there's so much out there. I think taking that chance is definitely well worth it.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
So now we're here. We're while on Earth. You've got your brand. You guys are up and running. We got our 1 year anniversary now and you're working with some great athletes. I mean, Christian McCaffrey, you have Brooke. Oh my God, I forgot her last name.
Brooke Wells.
Wells, and then Matt Frazier, which all like you got high level CrossFit athletes. You got high level football players. I mean, what else could you ask for? People who are just in tune with sport. You're in tune with the sport, the marketing, the whole, you know, process of running the business, you guys are basically set up for success. How was it coming together? Like, how did you guys become really just in sync with the idea of what a Wild on Earth needs to be?
Yeah, it's such a great question. And I have so much gratitude to be able to, you know, have these athletes as partners in our business and the rest of our team. And it's been a journey to get to this point. We celebrated our one-year anniversary last week for mm-hmm. While on Earth, and the mission of our company is to inspire people to reach their full potential, and it's our belief that that starts with being the healthiest version of yourself, and you know, the foundation of that is movement, and that's what our product is created for, and that's why we named the first shoe that we introduced the Move Trainer. And I was fortunate enough to work with Brooke for close to 10 years.
Wow.
The first female athlete at Noble.
Okay.
We signed her when she had, I think, 1,000 followers, and now she has close to 2 million. Completed her 10th CrossFit Games. Matt Fraser, who's the, you know, most dominant male CrossFitter in history.
Yeah.
Matt was actually the original Nike training athlete, and mm-hmm. he launched the Nike Metcon franchise
mm-hmm.
With him. And he and I had just built a friendship through being in the space alongside each other for that whole time, and was fortunate enough for them to be willing to believe in me and commit to an idea before we even knew exactly what it was. They were on board with that, and it was always the goal to have another kind of key face of the brand outside of just the fitness space. And they're two icons that bring so much to the company. And we felt like having an additional team member that could help us reach a different audience or a broader audience would be something that would be really important in the early stages. And we didn't know who that would be and had conversations with a few different folks, but, you know, fortunately was able to get to spend time with Christian throughout the last year and really get to know him and his team and how he clicks. And we really just hit it off from the really beginning. He was at a point in his career where he's still playing. He's still at the peak of his game, but was thinking about the long term and, you know, demonstrated that through his willingness to walk away from Nike, who he had been with for his whole career.
Yep.
You know, to invest in While on Earth and join our founding team. And that was only a month ago, less than a month ago.
Yeah.
And it's just been absolutely transformative for us.
And something I've noticed in the sneaker space now, you know, years past, it's very hard to get someone to look at something other than, you know, Jordan, Nike, you know, the Adidas, the names that people recognize, the big companies. But over the last couple of years, I feel like especially this year in 2025, I don't know why, just the way things are like being shown to me, I guess, across different media platforms. Independent owned brands have, I feel like they are in a time where people are more receptive. I think it does come from, like you talked about earlier, Todd, people being more willing to purchase things over the internet. But people are so much more receptive, and not just us as consumers, but people looking for maybe deals as athletes or as entertainers, they're more receptive to, I want to build something from the ground up as opposed to just being a drop in the bucket at, you know, fill in the blank big brands. I love, again, that you guys are able to maneuver, design the way you guys want to, and still get the eye and the respect as, you know, every other brand out there as well. I think it's super cool the time we're in right now.
Yeah, I mean, that's certainly the opportunity, and it only works, though, if you have great product, you know?
Most definitely. Most definitely.
And that's coming from my background as a marketer. You cannot out-market bad product, and we invest more in product development and R&D at While on Earth than we do in anything else, because we ultimately know that despite who we have as an ambassador or face of the company, it comes down to the connection the customer has with the product and how they're using it and how that makes them feel, not just about the product, but about themselves in it. And that's the opportunity for a footwear and apparel brand, is you're truly part of their identity now.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can do it in such a way that while they're in their product, they're doing something like fitness or movement that makes them feel better about themselves. The brain is wired so that, you know, the endorphins make you feel good.
Yeah.
If we can live at this intersection of movement and wellness and fitness with beautiful product, we feel like we've got a chance, you know, and that's all you can ask for.
Yeah, was it the Deion Sanders look good, play good? So, I mean, it's true. Like, you put a new shoe on. If it you know, everything aligns with you, like the product you like, of course you're going to be, you know, feel like you can do better, lift more, run fast, whatever it could be. It's a real thing. And I got to say, so for those looking at the camera, we do have the Move trainer, which I got to, you know, try out today. Shout out to Todd and Saint for sending me a pair over to check out. And I told Todd just before we got on the record button going, this is literally one of the best trainers I've used. Me and my wife have been in a CrossFit for almost 3 years now. So trying to, you know, sticking with it. And it's really cool. It's just the different workouts and seeing, you know, the strength we've gained from doing, like, just kind of just from different from traditional, just going lift weights and so on and so forth. My mobility sucks. Like, I am not a very flexible person at all. So using these today was actually one of my least favorite workouts, is front squats. And we're trying to lift heavy. And usually, you know, some of the shoes I've tried, they feel good, but, you know, maybe off balance and things like that. But you guys have set this up to where it is, I know you have the wider last on it to give you a better base, handle foot splay. I mean, it just so happened. It's like, I promise you, it's not just because you're on the call with me today. But I actually hit a PR today on my front squats wearing your shoe. All
right.
I actually did. So typically, I'm terrible at my front squats, and I actually beat my previous weight by like 50 or 60 pounds. So our front squat, I hit 205 today on my front squat. I'm gonna feel it later, I'm pretty sure, but usually I have to take my shoes off, get like in my socks and do it, but I was able to keep the Move trainer on and be comfortable and feel very secure the entire time while I did it. So I gotta give you a shout out from a very novice person out there who was able to feel a huge difference. That's my code sign. I know that this is definitely something for even the higher level athletes out there.
Yeah, wow, that's awesome. Wow, good for you, man. First of all, I mean, yeah, second of all, the Move trainer, you know, we talk about it as your all-purpose fitness shoe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so if you go away for a long weekend and you can only bring one pair of shoes, you pack the Move trainer because it's going to be comfortable, versatile, high performing, and it's going to look good in or out of the gym.
Yeah.
And we feel like that's how customers are wearing athletic product nowadays. And that's how we want our product to perform. So it needs to really hold up at the highest level in high-intensity training environments like yourself or like Brooke Wells competing at the CrossFit mm-hmm. Games. You know, but it also needs to look great and be well-suited for, you know, people who are on their feet, you know, 8-10 hours a day. And that was one of the things for me is, you know, I was able to travel and participate in many different, you know, events and functions over time. And I'd be on my feet all day.
Yeah.
My feet would hurt at the end
of
the day with what I was wearing. And, you know, we wanted to create a product that could kind of span both ends of the spectrum.
Yeah. And, you know, you're right. It's something that's definitely a big thing now. That, you know, the athletic sneakers being not only in the gym, but on, you know, their day-to-day life. Especially, I feel a lot of, like, running shoes have been like that now. And this one, I think, again, crosses that line perfectly, or blurs that line perfectly, because it's not, like, I feel like a traditional training shoe sometimes has just so much on it that when you wear it with normal clothes, it just doesn't fit the aesthetic. It didn't look well, but you guys did it to where it is, I like the shoe straight to the point. Not a bunch of extra frills. It's sleek where it looks good. All the performance features to where it's a high performer. Like I said, I can go run all my errands right after I leave the gym without having to bring two pairs of shoes with me. So
totally.
It's perfect. I mean, the way you guys decide, you know, it's not about moving a certain way, but just moving. I think that speaks to a lot of people because not everyone can make it to the gym. Or heck, not everyone can afford a gym membership the way things cost nowadays. But if I can get outside and just walk, or I can do, you know, work at the gym, at the park, outdoor gym, whatever it may be, there's a shoe for them. And it really, I think you guys have something that people will really gravitate not only to design, but the idea as well. I think people like that they're not put into a box.
Yeah, awesome. We hope so. That's how we're using it. We've gotten great feedback in the last year. We're improving it, adding to the line, and excited about what we got coming.
Yeah, I was on a website. I saw you guys. I mean, it said 2026. Looks like you guys are getting into some running space. I mean, yep. as much as you can tell me or want to tell me, what does that look like for you guys right now? Is it more like the I don't want to say leisurely running, but are you looking more like competitive running sneakers, like some of the super shoes out there? What does it look like for you guys?
Yeah, so I mean, you know, like running is kind of the original form of movement, you know, if you think about it. And it's part of my routine and the routine of our team. You know, there was a time where I was hammering myself in the gym with weights 5 days a week.
Yeah.
It's evolved, you know, like I'm going for trail runs or, you know, running in the neighborhood or walking or, you know, still in the gym, but doing all different kind of forms of movement and, you know, wellness routines, if you will. And running's just a key part of that. And you see that with community and run clubs and how people are getting out and getting together, whether you're running 1 mile or 100 miles, literally, you know, there's different events for you. And we want to create great product for running. And that's whether you're kind of a recreational enthusiast, maybe like me, running, you know, 5 to 20 miles a week.
Yeah.
Or if you're going, you know, on the much more intense high end of the spectrum. And we've got various forms of running in development. And, you know, we think we'll have something for everybody over time.
That's awesome, man. Yeah, because, I mean, fitness is just growing. I feel like running has definitely hit this spike. I mean, ever since the pandemic, where just a lot of people, all they could do was run, like, it's just trending, like, even more upward, even to this day, 5 years later. I think it's awesome. That's all, yeah, definitely gonna try those out when they come out, because I always find myself trying to just try every, like, runner out there, every gym shoe out there, just to find the one that works best. I think I'm definitely excited to see what you guys have there, but, I mean, heck, before we finish up, you know, Todd, any other plans, any events, anything you guys want to, you know, let the world know about?
Well, we just added Christian McCaffrey, and, you know, he's already got a lot of ideas for how we can make new product that, you know, kind of fills some of the holes that he sees in the market and how he uses his footwear and his apparel. And it's been exciting to be able to kick off a lot of new projects with him, and I'm really excited to just share how that stuff's coming together. It's going to be a little bit, but it's coming together really nicely. You know, we're just scratching the surface with everything we have in the pipeline.
That's awesome, man. I'm just waiting to see him out there with the move with the cleats at the bottom. Yeah. No, that's so cool, man.
That would be pretty special.
That'd be awesome, but man, Todd, what you guys have going on, I think is really awesome. Like, seriously, I love seeing brands come out and really just compete with the big boys out there and doing something that's offering quality to people, offering a different look, and just being able to, you know, speak to a group and not just make them feel like you're just a consumer. I think what you guys are doing are making people feel like, kind of take a look at themselves, like, hey, yeah, I do want to be healthy, and then they have someone to look at with while on Earth to say, oh, these people are genuinely trying to help me with their product. So I think you guys are definitely going to, you're on to something. I really feel like you're going to be a big player in all of this shoe world that we live in.
Well, thanks very much. I mean, you know, we can't be the big brands, and we wouldn't try to be, but they can't be us either.
Exactly. You know? Exactly.
And it's an opportunity to be small and be intimate and create real connection and be honest with why we're creating what we create. And it won't be for everybody. We know that. But we feel like those who connect with while on Earth and the ethos that, you know, time is our most valuable currency.
Yes.
We've got some really special high performing product that they'll love.
I think so, man. I think so. And guys, please, if you haven't already, check out While on Earth. We'll make sure that in the description of the episode, we have all, of course, the website, social media outlets out there as well. Of course, you can find Todd on, it's just your name on Instagram, correct?
Industry Todd.
Industry Todd. That's what, Industry Todd. And of course, LinkedIn for those business connections. That's always there as well. So I got to say, Todd, I appreciate the time, man. I enjoy talking to you. I really enjoy, again, what you guys are doing. And thanks for the time, man. I know you're busy out there running a brand. So thank you. Thanks for talking to the audience today.
No, I love sneakers, and, you know, anything, you know, sneaker history related is something that excites me. I've got one question for you before we go.
What you got, man?
What was your original, you know, what was the shoe that hooked you on, you know, collecting footwear, sneakers, or fell in love?
There are two. So one, it's hard to give this one full credit because I was five and had no money and literally don't know anything at five, but it was a Jordan 10. It was the original Jordan 10 in 94. My mom had bought my dad and I the same matching shadow pair. So it was my first shoe. We had just moved to Texas. I was going to kindergarten. That shoe just always is like laser engraved into my mind. And then the shoe that really just got me like, yeah, I'm going to be really collecting was in high school. Big into skateboarding. Absolutely terrible at it, but I respect it and I try every so often still. Pharrell had, he actually worked at Reebok for his ice cream collection, which was this skate shoe. And it was, looks very different from like the DCs, Etnies of the world out there, but is a shoe I found, I purchased with my own money back in high school. And that was really kind of the start of like the hunt for me. And just now we're, if you see behind me, just, it's all history from there.
That's awesome. I love it. It's great. Yeah. I mean, you know, I don't know if you remember the, I think it's the original Kobe's that were Adidas.
Yeah.
Kobe was with Adidas.
Yeah, yeah.
I had those, and I wish I still had them.
I got a few of them floating around. I think I put them back in like the. Yeah, I put them back in like the closet in the box. But I have a couple of his originals. Well, not the originals, but they re-released them under different names since he wasn't the brand anymore. But like the crazy ones, they had like kind of that real shell outer yeah. side to them. Yeah, I have the yellow ones and the black ones he wore. The yellow ones he won an All-Star game, the black ones he wore in the finals. But they just re-released the Kobe 2, which looked like everyone called the toaster because it's like that full kind of shell on it. You couldn't even see the laces on it. It looked like, I guess, supposed to be an Audi TT, but very mixed reviews on that.
Yeah. So I had those. I had the original T-Max that had like the square front.
Oh, hold on. Hold on. I got you right here. See, growing up in Texas, T-Mac was one of my favorite players when he was with the Rockets. And so this one.
Yeah.
Yep.
I had the black and the bright blue ones.
I know exactly what my buddy had those.
These were sweet. I had the answers.
Yeah.
Obviously, those were classic. And then I had kind of a handful of Jordans over time, too.
Got it. Got answers there.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm a huge basketball shoe fan. It's like, no matter how kind of landscape changes of like shoes, I always have to, those shoes are like my first love when it comes to sneakers and just trainers, like tennis stuff, workout stuff has always been like kind of, no matter how fashion turns, I'll still find a way to throw those on.
Yeah. Oh, no doubt. It's interesting. Last thought for you. And I know you got our leather trainers that we just launched.
Yeah. Oh,
for the anniversary edition. But we really try to create timeless product.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I'm sure you see there's so much of this kind of like retro influence that like mm-hmm. New Balance is crushing right now, but so many of the brands are kind of adopting or bringing back or mm-hmm. whatever. You know, and we've kind of looked at it as like, well, you know, we designed actually a few different kind of alternatives to the move, one being the leather and roughed out suede that we just launched. But we had others too that had a little bit, there they are. And that had a little bit more of this kind of vintage design with kind of the open meshes and everything like that.
Yeah.
You know, but as we like reflected on which one was right for us to launch, you know, I looked at those shoes and I'm like, well, those are retro because at one time they weren't retro. They were mm-hmm. current, you know?
Yep.
And if we really want to create something that's timeless, we should design it within our own brand design language. And someday, if we're really lucky and fortunate and successful, then that will look retro. But let's not try to, we're a new brand. Let's not try to create retro. Let's try to create us. And then, you know, build on that as we go. So that's the leather trainer that you just received.
Oh, and when I opened that one up, I was like, oh, this is just way too nice for me to go to gym. I'm like, this is going to be an everyday shoe. I was like, there's no way I'm about to throw these around, you know, miles in this. I'm like, this is just way too nice. And you guys, material-wise, insane. There you go. Get a better view. The sun's kind of killing me right now. But yeah, this is soft leather, thick leather, and the suede is nice. And you get the kind of that long nappy suede. This is a timeless piece of footwear here, just easily.
Awesome. Easy. Well, great, Mike. Great chatting with you, and really appreciate the opportunity to come on.
For sure, man. And hey, open invitation. Anytime you guys are doing anything you want to talk about it, just give me a call, man. We'll turn on the microphones and we'll talk about it.
Sounds great. I look forward to next time.
Perfect. Guys, I hope you enjoyed the episode. Again, follow While on Earth, follow Todd. Just keep an eye on what they're doing because they have some really great product I think you guys really enjoy. So until next time, guys, see ya.
Hey, y'all. Nick here. One more thing before you take off. Do us a solid and leave us a review on your favorite podcast platform. Check the links in the description to help us keep the show going. And as always, we appreciate you listening. And don't forget to tell someone you like their kicks today. You never know how far a compliment will take you. And we all know how good it feels to be on the receiving end of some appreciation. Peace.